So in the volume of Pachad Yitzchak from Rabbi Yitzchak Kutner Alav Shalom, on Purim, we'll try to do both Inyan Hey and Inyan Lamed Dalet. I think they're connected in a certain way. So let's see. Kol Sifre Tanach Atidim Libatel Chutz Mimegilat Esther. Rambam. Rambam writes, this is in Perek Bet of Ilchot Megillah, Halacha Yudchet. The Rambam writes that all the Sifre Tanakh are going to be batel, are going to cease to be le'atid lavo in the time of Mashiach, except for Megillat Esther. Whatever that means in itself, that deserves a discussion. What exactly does that mean? But that's a famous statement nonetheless, that Megillat Esther is going to last forever, even into the time of Mashiach, into Le'atid Lavo. Pirusham shel dvarim alalu kedelhalan. So let's hear the pirush of the Pachad Yitzchak on this inyan. B'sha'at kinyano shel Yaakov et ha-bechora miyado shel Esav, when Yaakov acquired the right of the firstborn, the Bechura, from the hand of Esav, Hare Omer, what does it say? Yaakov told Esav, Michrach hayom et Bechura techali. Can you sell me your Bechura to me as of today? Michrach hayom. Rabbim hem hapirushim al tevat kayom. And there's a lot of discussion how to explain that extra word, michra chayom. It could have easily said, michra et bechora techali. Sell me your bechora. What's this chayom as of today? Ki bipshuto en shum kishur leteva zo bemishpat ze. Bepashtut, this word sort of is not so connected to the meaning of the pasuk. Vehinenu baze lefaresh et hateva hazo kefi hatam she'anu margishim ba. What I love about this sefer is these are the talks that Rav Yitzchak Kutner had during the Seudah of Purim. And, you know, sometimes you can even smell the wine from these Divrei Torah in this sefer. And so he says, I'd like to explain this word based on the taste that we feel now during Seudat Purim. So let's imagine we're taking ourselves to somewhere, Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, back in the 70s, and listening to, at the Purim Mishte by Rav Yitzchak Kutner, and he's explaining this Michra Chayom. Hine Yaakov amar le'Esav, elsewhere, Yaakov tells Esav, after they met up, after many years, in Parashat Vayishlach, so at that encounter, after they hugged each other and kissed each other. So it says, Yaakov told Esav, because Esav asked Yaakov, can I join you? Can me and my people, we'd like to join and walk with you together wherever you go? And Yaakov discouraged him. He said, no, you please, you go on. Ve'anochi et nahala le'iti le'regel ha'melacha. I'm going to go in my pace with all the family that I have here, ad avo el adoni seira, until I'll catch up with you later in Seir. I will come to you in Seir. I mean, that's what it literally says. Yaakov says to Esav, ad avo el adoni, I shall come to my master, referring to Esav, seira. Dvar avele shel Yaakov lo nitkaimu meolam. Now, these words of Yaakov were never fulfilled. We never came to Seir to meet up with Esav. Upirshu chachamim, and the chachamim explained. This comes from the midrash in Bereshit Rabbah. Shemikevan sheiefshar sheyetze davar batel mipiv shel Yaakov. It's impossible for Yaakov to say something that is absolutely false. Titen emet li Yaakov. So what does this mean? Yaakov said, "Ad avo el Adoni Seira." Hare adraba dvarim alalu mitparshim besod acharit hayamim. So therefore, on the contrary, you have to say that these words are explained to be fulfilled in the Acharit HaYamim, in the world to come, in the time of Mashiach, Asher Az Yavo Yaakov LeSeir, that's when Yaakov will come to Seir, Ka'amur, as it says in Ovadia, it says, Ve'alu Moshiim Lishpot Et Haresav. Ve'alu Moshiim El Har Tzion Lishpot Et Haresav. And saviors will come to Har Tzion to judge Har Esav. Ve'nimtza, She'af al pi she'Yaakov amar le'Esav avo el Adoni Seira bistama. So now let's pay attention carefully here. Even though Yaakov Avinu said, Stam, I will come to you, Esav, in Seir. He didn't say when. Mikol makom mitparshim hem adata de'acharit hayamim. The Stam words of Yaakov, the inexplicit, the unspecific words of Yaakov, or unspecified words of Yaakov, are self-explanatory to Acharit HaYamim. That it doesn't mean now, it means then, in the world to come. Umipnechen, therefore, says Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, b'sha'at kniyat ha-bechora, therefore when Yaakov acquired the Bechora from Esav, yeshna hadgasha meyuchedet, there is a special emphasis that the sale should be done today. That's why Yaakov had to specify, when I say michrach hayom, I mean today, buddy, today. Why? Because without this emphasis, haya Esav yachol iton, Esav could have claimed later on, Omnam machalti lecha ita bechora. Yes, I sold you the bechora, aval kemo sheata maftiach li achshav, but just like when you promise something now and the fulfillment is only later on, in the future, so too, when you say that I should sell to you my Bechora, yeah, I agree, the Bechora is sold, but later, Be'acharit HaYamim. Keneged ze ba'a hi ha'avlata betevat kayom. That's why the emphasis of Kayom comes, Hagonezet betocha et ha'oketz shediburav shel Esav, because in the word Kayom, there is hidden the sharp point that the words of Esav, muchachim hem litparesh bemuvan shel hayom hazeh, have to be explained in the connotation of now, of today, lo bemuvan shel acharit hayamim. Let's explain what he just said. When Yaakov says something on his own, when Yaakov says something stam, it is explained in the language of Acharit HaYamim. So when Yaakov said, Ad avo el Adoni Seira, what does it mean? One day, in Acharit HaYamim, in the future. But when Esav speaks, Esav, when he says something, his words are to be explained in this world, Olam Hazeh. And that's why Yaakov Avinu made it very clear, hey, Esav, when you sell your Bechora, you understand that it's Kayom, that it's now. You can't use my language. My language is Acharit HaYamim. Your language is Hayom Hazeh, is Olam Hazeh. So that's why he told him, Michra Hayom. Ki al ken diburav shel adam mitparshim hem lefi shorsho. Because the words of a person are to be explained based on the person's root. Ve'al ken, therefore, mikevan sheshorsho shel Yaakov hu be'acharit hayamim, since the shorish of Yaakov, the root of Yaakov Avinu, is not in this world. The root of Yaakov is in acharit hayamim. So then, because his shorish is acharit hayamim, so the stam words, the unspecified words of Yaakov, are bibchinat acharit hayamim hinitpeset, is understood within the realm of acharit hayamim. Shani Esav, Esav is different. Shechelko ha'olam hazeh, his shorish, his chelik, his share, is this world. ואין לו חלק באותם אחרית הימים. He's not connected, he doesn't have a share in the אחרית הימים. הרי הדיבורים שלו, so therefore his words, נראים הם רק באספקלריה של היום הזה. They are seen only through the prism of this world, ולא באספקלריה של הלמחר. Not through the prism of tomorrow. So Esav, his shoresh is today. So his words are explained in the today. Yaakov, his shoresh is in acharit hayamim. His words, unless specified otherwise, are to be explained in the tomorrow. Uleshon ha-katuv beparashat Amalek hu. Now, if we turn to the parasha of Amalek, at the end of parashat Bishalach, not Zachor that we're going to read this week, which is at the end of Kitetzeh, but the part that we read on the morning of Purim, the end of Bishalach, the actual war. So it says there that Moshe told Yoshua, Tse ve'ilachem ba'amalek, go out and make battle with Amalek. Machar anochi nitzav al rosh ha-giv'ah. Machar, tomorrow I will be, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I will be standing at the head of the mountain. Now, if you read the pasuk carefully, you'll see that the word machar, which means tomorrow, it's not so clear where to read the machar with. You could read the pasuk like this: Tse ve'ilachem ba'amalek machar, anochi nitzav b'rosh ha-giv'ah. Or you could read it: Tse ve'ilachem ba'amalek machar, anochi nitzav b'rosh ha-giv'ah. Where do we put the machar? Is it go and make war with Amalek tomorrow, and I will be on top of the mountain? Or go and make war with Amalek, tomorrow I shall be on top of the mountain? The machar is neither here nor there. And that's what he says. V'tevat machar zu b'mishpat ze. In this sentence, the word machar, mitpareshati b'shtei ufanim, can be explained in two ways. Efshar la'aliyot nimshechet le'ma'ala, it can be connected to the second part of the pasuk, or le'ma'ala I think means to the first part of the pasuk, right? To the previous. Or it can be connected to the continuation of the pasuk. And actually, that's why Chachamim say in the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, and Daf Nun Bet, the Gemara gives us a few examples in the Torah where we have a word where there is no clear-cut knowledge as to where the word goes, where does it belong. Chachamim say machar is me'otan ha-mikraot she'en la'em echreya. It's one of those psukim that doesn't have a clear-cut decision where the word goes. I think the Gemara gives us like chamesh mikraot, like five psukim like that in the Chumash. Ve'omek ha-mashma'ut shel choser echreya ze yitba'er lefanenu. So you might ask, why is it so? Why does Hashem gave us a Torah and He gave us, you know, this word that we don't know where to read it? Is machar read with hilachem ba'amalek, or is it read with anuchi nitzav al rosh ha-giv'ah? Why did Hashem have it that there should be such a word she'en lo echreya, that there is no decision where it goes? And secondly, why dafka here? Why dafka by Amalek? So he wants to explain. Hine b'migilat Esther, you'll notice, he says, in Megillat Esther, there is an interesting phenomenon with the word machar. Chozeret venishnet hi tevat lemachar. The word lemachar comes up again and again in Megillat Esther. Kegon, lemachar ani karu la'im ha-melech. Haman tells his wife Zeresh, tomorrow, you know, I'm invited to come with the, you know, to sit in the banquet with the queen and the king. Esther told him, yavo ha-melech machar. I want the melech v'haman should come machar. Ela mishte asher asiti. And we find the word machar come up a few times in the Megillah, v'chadome. And the Maharal picks up on that. V'katav al ze ha-Maharal, dezeu mishum, the Maharal says, what's with this lemachar when it comes to Haman, when it comes to Amalek? Mishum shekol inyan mapalato shel Amalek shayach hu lemachar. Because the concept of the downfall of Amalek is pertinent really to machar. It applies to the tomorrow. V'chenu omer b'Shmuel. In Shmuel also, she'ika David et Amalek le'machorat. In Shmuel Aleph, I jotted down the pasuk here. In Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed, it says when he went out to make war against Amalek, it says Vayakem David mehaneshev ve'ad ha'erev lemachoratam. And David smote Amalek from the morning till the evening of tomorrow, lemachoratam. And in fact, if you look in Rashi and Radak there, in the Mefarshim, Rashi writes in the name of Chazal the following, quote, I'm reading from the margin, if you could see. Lemudim hem amalekiim lilkot beyom machar. The Amalekim are accustomed to be defeated on the morrow, on the next day. There's something with the next day that Amalek gets defeated then. As it says, machar anochi nitzav. And here it says, lemachoratam. So the Maharal says, we find that in Sefer Shmuel. Why? Mishum dehayom hazeh shayachu be'emet le'amalek. Because nowadays, the hayom hazeh belongs more to Amalek. Umapalato hu inyan shel lemachar. His downfall is something that belongs to the lemachar, to the next day, to the morrow, to the future, to the acharit hayamim. Nimtzad emetziuto shel Amalek ba'olam ba'yom hazeh. So it comes out, Rabotai, that the very existence of Amalek in the world nowadays, ba'yom hazeh, ma'afilahi al ha'hakara shel metziut ha'lemachar. Now that's a very deep sentence here. He says, the very existence of Amalek, the presence of Amalek in the world today, shadows, casts darkness upon the recognition of the existence of the lemachar. Which means, being that the whole mitziut of Amalek is ayom hazeh, and ayom hazeh, there is no mapala to Amalek. Amalek is still alive. So while Amalek is in the world, sort of what Chazal tell us, ki yad al kesya, that as long as you know, the Amalek is still in the world, the name of Hashem is not Shalem. The name of Hashem is not complete. Ki yad al kesya, right? So you know, what does that mean? Included in this concept that Hashem's name is not complete in this world where Amalek covers up Hashem's, kibyachol, so to speak, existence, it covers up the existence of the Achrit Hayamim. If I may explain, the emunah in olam haba, the emunah, the faith in hisha'arut ha'nefesh, in the continuance of the nefesh, of the eternality of the soul, that emunah is covered up by Amalek, because Amalek is all about hayom hazeh. We know hayom la'asotam u'machar lekabel secharam, but that concept of machar lekabel secharam is overshadowed, is covered up by the very existence of Amalek in this world. As you know, the famous Gematria that everyone says, Amalek is b'gematria safek. Safek means doubt. Amalek, one of the first things that he casts doubt upon is the existence of the lemachar, of the future. Yeah, you guys talk about the future all the time. Then. Ah, cut it out already. Don't you see? It's not happening. Yeah, what do we see? We see the Yom HaZeh. The Yom HaZeh is Amalek. And the Amalek of Yom HaZeh is Ma'afil, throws shade at the Lemachar of the Jewish people. Umikevan she'inyan ze nohegu b'mtziut. So now, since that is the essence of reality, this is what's happening in reality. He's saying something so deep. He says, so reality is always in conjunction with the actual writing of the Torah as well. Torah and the world correspond to each other. So the Torah corresponds to the reality of the world. And just like right now, as of now, the reality of the world is that the existence of Amalek covers up the acknowledgement or the recognition of the Lemachar, so in the Torah also, where the downfall of Amalek is written about, the Lemachar of the downfall, it's Enechrea. It's written in a very unclear way. There's no Echrea. Where do you put the Lemachar? Is it the first pasuk? Is it the first half of the pasuk? Does the machar belong to the next half? There's a confusion with the word machar. You know why? Because that's what Amalek does. The Yom HaZeh of Amalek casts confusion on the lemachar. And so we find that in the Torah itself. The Torah shows us what's going on in the Mitziyut. So this is like a little hint about what Amalek is really doing in the world. That's why in the statement of Moshe to Yoshua, that's why the Nemachar, we don't know where to put it. The Nemachar is shaky. This lack of decisiveness, where to put the Nemachar, the word Machar in the Pasuk, is included in the Milchama of Amalek. That's a result of the battle with Amalek. That's a result of the En HaKiseh Shalem or En Shemo Shel Hashem Shalem in this world. V'kol ozen bochenet, so any ear that is paying attention, makshiva hi la'adgasha azu bokat ve'ola mitoch bakashata shel Esther. You can actually hear it from the request that Esther had from Achashverosh on the day of war against the Amalekim. What did Esther ask for? Ki b'sha'a shebikshah Esther al hosafat yom shel mechiyat Amalek b'shushan ha'ir. Remember? When Esther came towards the end of the Megillah, she comes to Achashverosh with a whole new plea, a whole new request. And what is the request? That the people of Shushan should have one more day to fight and to eradicate the Amalekim. What did she ask? Lo biksha ela sheye gam machar kedat hayom. That's the lashon of the pasuk. She asked for machar. I want tomorrow to be able to do what we did today. Today all the Jews took care of all the Amalekim. I'd like the people of Shushan to be granted tomorrow, machar, to also continue their fight against the Amalekim. Mipene shebe'etzem bitchumei hayom hazeh greidav. Why is that? Because in the realm of Hayom HaZeh alone, yifshar la lemapalato shel Amalek. It's almost impossible for the downfall of Amalek to happen. Kol ha'inyan eno na'asa, ela betziruf inyano shel machar. It can only happen together with the concept of lemachar. And that's why she asked for the lemachar. That's what's going on there, he says. V'chozrim anu le'atchalat ha'dvarim. Now let's come back to that statement in the beginning. שמגילת אסתר אינה עומדת להתבטל עם מות המשיח. מגילת אסתר is the one מגילה that's not going to be מתבטל. It will not be cancelled in the days of משיח. שמכיוון שכל כולה עומדת היא המגילה הזאת בסוד מחר כדת היום. Because the מגילה is standing on this very concept of what? Of מחר כדת היום. The מפלה of Amalek. So it is singled out. It is out of the normal sequence of events that will take place regarding the Kitvei HaKodesh. It's different than the Kitvei HaKodesh. The Kitvei HaKodesh of Megillat Esther is based on the Lemachar, so it has to stick around. It, by its very nature, it has to stick around. This bitul, this cancellation of all the Sifrei Kodesh, is actually the demarcation between the Hayom, Hayom we have the Kitvei Kodesh, and the Lemachar when they will be Patel. Megillat Esther is not on that side of that demarcation, it's on the other side. Megillat Esther mufkati mehavdalazu sheken basholetu hamahalach shel machar kedat hayom. Regarding Megillat Esther, it's the mahalach of machar, it's the process of machar that actually dominates. And therefore Megillat Esther by its very nature cannot be mitbatel leatid lavo. Let's go to Inyan Lamed Dalet. This one, I remember the first time I saw this piece many years ago, really got to me. Really got, I mean, this is so beautiful and I'd like to learn it with you today. So let's get right to it. Inyan Lamed Dalet. And again, it's connected. What does it say in the Megillah? Yivimei ha'purim ha'ele lo yavru mitoch ha'yudim vezichram lo yasuf mizar'am. The days of Purim will never, again, like we just said, will never come to an end, and their memory will never cease to exist from their seed. Afilu bizman shekol ha-moadim itbatlu, even when all the moadim, famously Chazal say, although it's not clear where they say it, but there is a statement like that, right? Oh, they bring, it's a midrash mishle, okay, a midrash in mishle. Afilu, even when all the moadim will be mitbatel, Purim lo itbatel, Purim will always be. Shenemar vezichram lo yasuf mizaram. I want to explain, he says, the Pachad Yitzchak says, I want to explain it in the with the following mashal. Listen to this. Mashal ishne b'nei adam shenitztavu le'akir anashim balayla. Two people were commanded to, they were sent on a mission to recognize people at night, meaning to look for people at night and to recognize who they are, to identify people during the nighttime. Ha'echad idlik ner, so one had the, you know, smartness to light a candle. Ve'hibit bifnei ha'anashim le'or haner, so he was able to see the faces of people with light. Bichdei le'akir et peneihem, to recognize their face. Okay, good idea. Le'asheni lo haya ner, but the other one didn't have a candle. But he had a job. He had to identify and recognize the faces of people. He trained himself to recognize people by voice, by vocal recognition, which means he didn't have the luxury of seeing them by face. So he had to work extra hard to put extra effort into training himself into a whole new method of identifying people through their voices, vocal recognition. Venimtza, so now it comes out, le'inyan ha-brirut ve'ha-behirut, regarding clarity, right? Decisiveness of who is who, harishon adif min ha-sheni. Obviously, if you can recognize someone by face, that is much more clear than just going by the sound of the voice. So when it comes to the clarity aspect, the first one who was able to use light is better. Shehare hakarat adam bechush ha-re'iya hi yoter bura me'asher hakarat adam bechush ha-shmiya. Recognizing someone with the sense of sight is much stronger than recognizing someone just with the sense of hearing alone. Aval le'umat zot. But compared to this, on the other hand, yesh le'asheni adifut al harishon. There is a certain advantage that the second one has over the first one. What is that? Shehu sigel le'atzmo kisharon chadash shel hakshava lekolot b'nei adam. He trained himself. He developed a new talent, a skill. He developed a new skill to recognize people just by their voice. So why is that so? Why is that such an advantage? Harishon asher nishtamesh baner, the first one that used the light of the candle, chaser lo kisharon ze shel hakara al yedei chush hashmia. He doesn't have that skill of being able to detect by sound. Venimtza, so what? Who needs that skill? Well, he says, it comes out, achar kach kesheya'aleh amud ha-shachar, when the morning comes up, at the end of the night, v'harishon yechabe et nero, listen to this, and the first one will do away with his candle, right? He doesn't need his candle anymore. D'shraga b'tiara mai ahani, as the Gemara says in Psachim. What good is a candle, the light of the candle in the middle of the day? You don't need it at all, right? It doesn't do anything. So the one who used the candle, who used the flashlight in the middle of the night, when the morning comes, he turns off his flashlight. He doesn't need it anymore. So kol hakochot shenatna lo avodato balayla le'or haner miyutarim hem achshav. So all the skills and the powers that his work gave him throughout the night are useless in the day, right? What was his skill? What was his power? His advantage was the light. It's useless in the daytime. Aval le'umat zot, but compared to that, Hasheni, the second guy, nehi de'achshav gam hu makir et ha'anashim. Now, first of all, He recognizes everyone just the same now. He's able to see, right? But besides that, מכל מקום כוחות השמיעה וההקשבה שיצרה בו עבודתו בחושך, those skills, those talents that were developed during the night when he had to come up with a way in the darkness of the night, לעולם נשארים קניין בנפשו. He acquired something that will always stay with him. Now he's able to not only recognize people when he sees them, but he has the chush hashmiya, a much more enhanced chush hashmiya, sense of hearing. The other one, did he enhance anything? No. He was able to see with a flashlight. So when day comes, you don't need the flashlight. But he doesn't have any extra skill. There was no enhancement. Whereas the other one, he doesn't need the flashlight either, but he has now an extra skill the other one doesn't have. And that's going to stay with him always. And that is the ability to detect by sound. So now listen to this, Avotai. V'hine b'shana me'uberet korim et ha'megillah be'adar sheni. Right, this year is a leap year. On a shana me'uberet, we read the Megillah the second Adar. And what's the reason for that? Tama mishum de'samchinan geulat purim le'geulat mitzrayim. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah tells us, because samchinan geula le'geula, we rather juxtapose one geula to the other. Right? So we put the story of the geula of Purim in Adar Sheni, Kriyat HaMegillah, so we put it right next to Nisan, which talks about geulat mitzrayim. We put them together. Now, that means that there is something they share in common, Geulat Mitzrayim and Geulat Purim. In fact, he says, Alenu ladat, ki keshem shegeulat Mitzrayim yesh la anochi mishela, just like Geulat Mitzrayim has its own revelation, its own anochi. What is that? Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. That's the anochi, that's the I, the majestic I of Geulat Mitzrayim. Kmo chen yesh la gam ligulat Purim anochi. Guess what? Purim also has a anochi mishela, has its own anochi. You know what that one is? Anochi haster astir et panai bayom ahu. In Parashat Vayelech, what does it say? Or Nitzavim, it says, and I shall hide my face, I shall surely hide my face on that day. Anochi haster astir et panai bayom ahu. And the Gemara tells us, Esther min haTorah minayin. Where do we have an inkling? Where do we have a hint of Esther in the Torah? Shneemar anochi haster astir. Somehow, Esther is connected to the hester panim that Hashem said and foretold in Parashat Nitzavim. Because the name Esther is like Astir et Panai. And there it says, Anochi Haster Astir et Panai. That's the Anochi of Geulat Purim. Klomar, now listen carefully. This is priceless. Listen to this. Shte drachim yesh la likneset Yisrael lehakir et ha'anochi. What is the word Anochi? Anochi means I. Who is this I? That's Hashem. Anochi symbolizes the revelation of Hashem to us. Our recognition of Hashem in the world. Says the Pachad Yitzchak, there are two methods by which Knesset Yisrael recognizes Anochi Hashem. Al Yedei Geulat Mitzrayim, ve'od al Yedei Geulat Purim. There is the Anochi that is through Geulat Mitzrayim, through the prism of Geulat Mitzrayim, and through Geulat Purim. What is the difference between those two? Ha-hakara shel Knesset Yisrael makira et ha-anochi al yedei yetziat Mitzrayim, the way that the revelation that Am Yisrael recognizes Hashem through yetziat Mitzrayim, hu dugmat ha-adam ha-makir et chavero bezrat klei ha-or shenitan lo. That is comparable to the first one, who was able to recognize people in the darkness with the light of a candle, with the flashlight. Hashem showed himself to us clearly by Geulat Mitzrayim, with the Ten Makot, with Kriyat Yam Suf, with the Man, with the Be'er, Moshe Rabbeinu. These were clear, with Matan Torah, these were clear revelations by Yetziat Mitzrayim. That was Hashem showing us himself through the darkness of this world with light. So we saw his face, Panim el Panim, Diber Hashem Imachem. ואילו ההכרה שכנסת ישראל מכירה את האנוכי על ידי הגאולה דהסתר אסתיר. But there is a different way of recognizing Hashem, רבותיי. There's a different way of seeing Hashem in the world. It's seeing Hashem through the aspaklaria, through the spectacle of Anochi Aster Astir, of the Hester Panim, of the hiding of the face of Hashem. You hear that? It sounds like a contradiction in and itself, right? We see Hashem through His hiding Himself. Hu dugmat ha-kara she-adam makir et chaverot. That's comparable to the way that the other one was able to recognize people in the night. Al yedei she-limed et atzmo le-akiro be-ezrat chush acher. He trained himself to recognize people by using a different sense, not the sense of seeing, but sense of hearing. Milvad chush ha-riya, besides seeing. Yes, Hashem covers His face. So we can't really recognize Hashem through chush ha-riya nowadays. But you know what? There is a different way of recognizing Hashem through the darkness of Galut, and that is chush ha-shmiya, through listening carefully. And boy, did Am Yisrael train itself all throughout the darkness of Galut to develop that prophetic sense of shmiya, to recognize Hashem, to hear that bat kol of Hashem that is yotzet mehal chorev every single day. Me'ata namshich hakav ala. So he says, let's stretch it out a little bit more, he says. L'chsheya'aleh amud ha-shachar. When amud ha-shachar will come up, ve'hashemesh tetzeh b'gvurata, and the sun of the Geula will come up in all its glory. Ve'ha'or shel gilui elakut yeshivatayim ke'or hachama, and the light of the revelation of Hashem in the world will be sevenfold, seven times the light of the sun, as the Navi says. Ki az bevadai sheotam kle haor shekneset Yisrael hayta zkuka lahem mikodem itbatlu bederech mimele. He says, all those kelim of light that Knesset Yisrael needed beforehand and used beforehand will ultimately not be needed anymore. Velachen kol ha-moadim shem zecher litziat Mitzrayim. That's why all the chagim, which are all what? What's the common denominator? This is very interesting. You could ask someone a riddle. What is the common denominator between all the chagim except Purim? All the chagim are zecher litziat Mitzrayim, except Purim. So now, Yetziat Mitzrayim was the Gilui of Hashem in the world with light. So there is the light of Pesach, there is the light of Sukkot, there is the light of Shavuot, there is the light of Rosh Hashanah Kippur, through which we see Hashem in the world the way He showed us when we left Mitzrayim. Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. L'chsheyavoh ayom asher bo tiyah geula atida ikar gulat Mitzrayim tafel. But when the day will come, when the future Geula will be the main talk of the day and Geulat Mitzrayim will recede to be secondary, as the Gemara in Masechet Brachot at the end of the first Perek says, that one day Geulat Mitzrayim is going to be overshadowed by Geulat Mashiach. What does that mean? Hare yesh bichlal matayim maneh. Included in 200 is 100. Which means when that day of Geula Atida is going to come, the light is going to be so big that the light of Geulat Mitzrayim is going to be like holding a candle in the daytime. Shraga betiara mayahani. What does a candle do in the daytime? It won't be needed. You won't need that light anymore. That was needed in the darkness, but it's not going to be needed anymore. Therefore, all the mo'adim which are zecher litziat Mitzrayim won't be necessary anymore. They will be mitbatel. So gam kol ha-mo'adim itkalelu be'or ha-shemesh shel ha-geula. All the light of all the mo'adim will be included already, will be taken in, will be absorbed by the great light of the sun of the geula. But that's all ela de'kol zehu bishar ha-mo'adim. That's all by all the other chagim. De'yesodam hu ha'or shel geulat Mitzrayim. Their basis is the light of geulat Mitzrayim. Aval Geula de Purim, but the Geula of Purim, Asher Al Yada Knesset Yisrael. What was special about Geula Purim? Doesn't even say Hashem's name one time in Megillat Esther. I mean, it's glaringly omitted, right? There's a pasuk in Megillat Esther where I think if even a child were to be writing the Megillah, he would put Hashem's name there. Where it says that, go and tell them, lech kenos et kol ha-yehudim, v'tzumu alai shloshet yamim laila v'yom, right? And it says there, to call out and to pray, v'tzumu alai. What is the obvious phrase that was omitted? And pray to Hashem. Right? I mean, anybody writing the Megillah would have put those words inside. So you see, it was deliberately omitted. You see, Hashem's name does not show itself in the Megillah because it's a Megillah, Megillah Lashon Gilui, of Esther, of the hidden. There is a Gilui through the hidden. That's Geulat Purim. Geulat Purim is to see Hashem with a different kind of skill, with a different kind of sense, not the sense of eyesight. That's the sense that Knesset Yisrael limdai tatzma leakir et ha'anochi, developed and honed to recognize the anochi gam b'choshech u'b'hester, even in the thickness of the hester panim of Hashem. Oh, this skill that Am Yisrael developed, bevadai ze yishael kinyan olam benafsha, that's going to stay on even after Amud HaShachar comes up. It will stay a kinyan olam in the nefesh of Knesset Yisrael afilu leachar sheya'ale Amud HaShachar. Even after the Amud HaShachar of the Geulah will come. Kol ha-mo'adim. Now let's hear this statement. Kol ha-mo'adim betelim chutz mipurim sheneemar vezichram lo yasuf mizaram. I just got goosebumps hearing the Ma'amar again. Because now you hear it in such a whole different way. The Mo'adim Bete, except Purim, the Gilui of Purim is always going to stay just like that other one who honed the skill of recognizing through vocal distinction. That talent stays on, is useful even after daytime comes. Nimtza deyesh shnei mineh ha'arot. It comes out there are two types of illuminations. Ha'achat hi Hashem orli, biklaliyut. There is one that is the general concept. Hashem is my light. Vehashniya, the second one is ki eshev b'choshech Hashem orli. Even when we sit in darkness, Hashem orli, Hashem is my light. Adifuto shel Purim idafka al yedei ha'ara hamitnotzetzet gam b'choshech. The advantage that Purim has is dafka because of its light that is sparkling, is coming out from the choshech. Ukeshem she'akoach hamore le'adam darko gam betoch choshech yesh bo adifut legabei ostam, just like the skill that guides a person through darkness has an advantage over stam light, kmo chen otam pnine hada'at, those sparks of knowledge hamitnotzetzim betoch ha'ida'at, that come to the mind of the Jew on the day where you're not supposed to have da, chel ha'ad delo yada, the day of the ad delo yada. The thoughts of a Jew on a day where his thought process is not really functioning regularly, yekarim behem beyotel, they are more precious than any other kinds of thoughts. Well, that's what we say. Purim, Agantz Yor Purim, they have, the Ashkenazim, they sing in Yiddish, Agantz Yor Purim, a whole year long Purim. There is this feeling that a Jew has when we have Purim, that it should last forever. That's why the Rama ends off Ilchot Purim. The last statement in Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim is what? He quotes a pasuk in Mishle, V'tov lev mishte tamid. And the one who has a good heart is mishte tamid, is always in a mishte, is always in a party. The party is not over Motzei Purim. It goes on. And so I think that's very much connected to what we're saying over here, that Purim is something that has in it the flavor of nitzchiyut, of forever, of forever.